But I want to begin by reading something Hezekiah does. We reach a point in the story where Hezekiah receives a letter from the Assyrian king. In the letter, it consists of all these threatenings towards Hezekiah and blasphemy to the Lord. So Hezekiah goes in before the Lord, and he prays a really awesome prayer. And I want to jump in there this morning. We're in 2 Kings 19. For now, go to verse 14. We're in chapter 19, 2 Kings. Go to verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. We're going to do something really different today. If you attend here regularly, you'll see that by the time we're through, we're going to have a little assignment. And it's going to be kind of different, and if you're not used to it, you'll go, well, that's kind of different. Well, that's by design. My goal, as I'm sure yours is, when I come to church, I just don't want to fill some time, but I want to hear from God. And I want to hear from God with the intention of responding to what he would say to us. My privilege and calling is to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And this morning is no exception to that. So there's some application we're going to do this morning. So this is to prepare us for that. But I want you to picture this scene as we open up right here, where it tells us that Hezekiah, he takes this letter he receives, and he goes in and he lays it. I get to see this. Hopefully you can too if you picture it. He just goes in before the Lord there in the temple, and he just lays this letter out. He says he lays it before the Lord. I wonder what you might want to lay before the Lord this morning. In that same way that he's going to do, that we might hear from God in your circumstances. I've called our time together this morning. From verse 19, I've called our time, you are the Lord God, you alone. Let's pray. Father, we recognize we need prepared hearts. There can be so many things that can distract us, and everything else from the heat around us to issues in our lives to so many things. Father, we pray you lift that off of us now and help us just to hear what you'd have. Let us be not just hearers but doers. Lord, thank you that all we're about to consider is rooted in your love for us. And you don't want us to come short of all you'd have for us. So, Lord, prepare. Prepare your word to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord. There's something you want to do. So we look to you. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called our time. You are the Lord God. You alone. So let's go back now and set the table and see what led up to this point of this prayer that Hezekiah makes. In chapter 18, as I mentioned, we see that Assyria, after conquering the northern kingdom of Israel, now invades the southern kingdom of Judah. And they are just conquering city after city. If you look at chapter 18 for just a moment, in chapter 18, verse 13, it says this, and in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Syria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. So he's invaded the country, and he's gobbling up city after city. He's conquering throughout that southern kingdom of Judah. Having done that, they now take aim at Jerusalem. The goal being is, just as they did in the north, they went in the south, now take the people captive. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he sends a messenger, some messengers, to Hezekiah and to the people of Judah. And it takes up the rest of chapter 18, what they come and set before the people. Basically, it's an out-and-out boast by Sennacherib against the Lord. The gist of it is summed up in a couple of verses. Look at verse 29 of chapter 18. Verse 29. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah is the king of Judah, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. These are the messengers speaking for the king of Assyria. He says, don't let your king fool you. He's not going to deliver you from our hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. And he goes on, but that's the gist of it. So the king of Assyria, the conquering nation, sends a letter to the king of Judah and to the people saying, don't you trust in your king. Don't you trust in the Lord. Neither one's going to be able to deliver you. I'm on my way and you are goners. You've had it. As we move now into chapter 19, Hezekiah responds to this attack, these statements of these messengers, by praying. And he sends men to his good friend, the prophet Isaiah, seeking from Isaiah what the Lord would have Hezekiah and the people do. The Lord responds to Hezekiah through Isaiah with the words of chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. I'm just trying to do some summary here to set the table. This is what the Lord now responds to Isaiah, to Hezekiah, verse 6. And Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now, when the Rabshakeh is a title for a right-hand man. When Sennacherib's right-hand man, a guy named Rabshakeh, he hears about all this, he sends a second message. So now the attacking nation sends a second message. Look at verse 10. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Reseph and the people of Eden who are in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the cities of Zarephim, Hena, and Iva? What's he saying? He hears that Isaiah is telling the people of Judah there, I'll protect you. Don't worry. They're not going to have they're not going to be successful against you. Well, when the conquering king, the Syrian king, hears that, he sends another message, and he basically says again, he says, don't you believe it. Don't you trust it. Your God says that I'm not going to capture you. And then he starts saying, look at every single nation I've captured. And he goes through, I've captured this nation, this nation, this nation, this city, this nation. He goes, none of their gods were able to deliver them. Why do you think your God can deliver you? None of their gods deliver them. And your God will be no different. Don't you trust in your God? Well, that is a real quick summary and sets the table for where we began this morning. For what's it tell us now? Verse 14. Remember, we began. Hezekiah gets this letter. It's a letter that's saying, don't trust God. He's not going to deliver you. Don't trust the king. And it says, look again, verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. And then he points out, truly, that, yeah, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste these other nations, but their gods aren't even gods. That's why they weren't able to withstand this. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. So basically, that's the scene as we join them this morning. On one hand, you have outside the city an army of 185,000 men, and they are right outside the city. You see, Hezekiah and the people are a group of people that are going to have to make a choice. Because indeed, right outside the city is a great, great, vast army. And they've just been getting victory left and right, defeating every city, everybody they've come up against. And now they're right there at the doorstep. I mean, they're led by a king that's got a really good batting average. He took the northern kingdom of Israel captive. He's been defeating all the peoples all around Judah. Basically, in all human terms, it doesn't look good for Judah. There's no reason from our human viewpoint to think that they can hope to escape from Sennacherib and his troops. On the other side, of course, they have the Lord declaring that Jerusalem will be spared, that the king of Assyria will not come into it, that not even an arrow will be shot into the city. I mean, come on, they're already right outside the city. All they got to do is take one arrow and go like that, boing, and in it comes. That would make God's word not true. So think of it. The enemy is great. The enemy is formidable. Nothing they have in themselves to withstand the enemy. And the enemy's right there on the doorstep, attacking everything they believe. Meanwhile, they have the Lord saying, I'm going to deliver you from it. And we can look back. It's really easy for us in hindsight to go, well, of course they should trust the Lord. What's the problem? It's easy from our viewpoint when we're not sitting there in the city with 185,000 troops ready to overwhelm us. It's easy to go, yes, they should just trust the Lord. But when they're right there on the doorstep, it's hard from the human viewpoint. How could they possibly think that these attacking troops won't be successful? So, it comes down to this. Hezekiah and the people have a choice to make. They can believe God, or they can go with their fears. They can have faith, or they can doubt. It's an interesting thing. But from the beginning, Sennacherib, the king of the attacking country, and his messengers, from the very beginning, they continued to frame all of their blasphemous comments in terms of trust. Look again real quick, chapter 18, verse 19. 18:19. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? Verse 22. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God. And he goes on to make a statement about that. So as you move through this thing, go down to verse 29 and 30 of that same chapter. It's the same thing again. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 10, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. So on and on, it's been a very straightforward approach the enemy is taking. Where are you going to put your trust? It's an issue of trust. Don't you trust the Lord. Don't you trust Hezekiah. It'll get you nowhere good. So they're framing it as trust. Will Hezekiah and the people trust God in the face of the odds against them? Again, the enemy's right outside the gates. There's no human way of thinking they would be able to be delivered. Where will they put their trust? I mean, again, to say that not even an arrow will be shot into the city, that's a lot to ask someone to believe. So we join Hezekiah, and he stands there on that day, and he has a choice to make. Do I believe the evidence? Do I believe my eyes and my senses and everything else are telling me? Do I believe what the enemy is saying? Do I believe what seems logical? Or do I believe God? Is it going to be fear or faith? Having set the table, that same question, of course, faces many of us this morning. And will face all believers at some point. Because this is an example of what we go through, isn't it? There's so many things that challenge our beliefs, our take on things, what the Lord says. We have the culture. We have college professors, we have all these people challenging the Bible and all, and it's so constant sometimes that we're bombarded with that. We have choices to make. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to believe as we go through these things? Did you notice what Hezekiah did as he goes through all of this? Go back to chapter 19, verse 1 for a moment. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes. That's a sign of he's humbling himself, he's in mourning, he's seeking the Lord. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. When he gets the second message, remember what it said? Look again at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So what did Hezekiah do with these attacks, the accusations, the claims of the enemy? Does he lay them before all his friends? No. Does he lay them before the current culture? What does culture say about this? No. Where do we take our concerns, our challenges, our fears? Take it to our friends at work, our relatives, our neighbors? What do you say? What do you think? No, Hezekiah does the right thing. He takes it to the Lord. He lays it before the Lord. And what's he say? He takes it in. I love it. He takes it in. He lays it before the Lord. And he just says, Lord, you see what they're saying. You see what they've written. What do you want me to do? I lay this before you, Lord. What do you want me to do? What am I to do? What's your answer to this? What's your take on this? He didn't shop it around, didn't argue it, debate it. He just came in and laid it before the Lord. And by the way, just so you can know, we're not going to camp on it, but just what does the Lord do at the very end? Look at verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. What do you know? Jerusalem never saw an arrow being shot into it, just as God has said. The Lord did save the city. But we're staying now, I want us to camp on that in-between point where we joined Hezekiah this morning. Will we trust God when Sennacherib is at the gate? Meaning, when circumstances seem to be against us, when we don't understand what to do, we don't see a way out, when that work situation is going south, when the relationship's really struggling, whatever it might be, what will the Lord find us doing with it? How will the Lord find us responding? In this case, it's an attack of the enemy, an actual physical attack of a neighboring kingdom. And it drives Hezekiah to go lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do? Here it is. Lord, do something. I need your touch. I need your help. But that may not be the exact situation for us this morning. For some of us, it could be something else. It's just something where we don't see an answer. Something we're struggling with. Something we just... It's something where the best thing we could possibly do is just go in and lay it before the Lord and say, here, God, I give it to you. I put it in your hands. You do what needs to be done. Help me leave it there, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to quit shopping it around. I'm going to quit laying it for other people. I'm going to trust you and just lay this before you and trust your response, trust your timing, trust your means and all of it. You see, the Rabshakeh, the right-hand man of the attacking king, he did point out one true thing. The gods of the other nations truly did those other nations no good. They didn't deliver the people of those other nations. And it's because those gods were not real. They were pagan gods, man-made gods, if you will. Looking to man's resources won't deliver. They found that they came to the end of their own resources, and their false gods, their pagan gods, weren't able to help them. But Sennacherib doesn't realize that in this case, he's come up against the living God. He's come up against the Lord. He's dealing with the one true living God. And that's the key. And I want us to look once again at Hezekiah's prayer, because that's an important part in all this. Again, verse 15. Now notice what he says. O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kings of the earth, you've made heaven and earth. See, right before that, he talks about, okay, the enemy is getting all these victories. But now, Lord, they've come up against you, and you are the true and living God. You are the Lord of the kingdom of all this earth. And therefore, incline your ear. Now, he knows God hears him. He knows God can see. It's his way of just crying out, God. When he said, please see, please hear, please answer, that's what he's crying out for. I need you to touch. I need you to work. But notice the basis of his plea. The bottom line basis for his plea, it's stated a couple of times. In verse 15, you are God, you alone. And then later on, verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, meaning from the enemy, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. So remember his situation, remember his circumstances. But what does he pray? What does he fall back on? Lord, you are the true and living God, and so I'm coming to you. And what does he pray? He prays, yes, save us. Save us from the enemy. But for what reason does he want that? It's important. Verse 19. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Now we come to a very key point in our assignment this morning. His goal is, God, work in my circumstances in a way that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that it's you. That you really are there. You're the true and living God. You have the resources and all. Lord, work in such a way that it points to you. See, Hezekiah wanted to be saved. That's normal. He wanted the nation to be delivered. That's a good king. He's been a good king. But he wanted something more. Lord, this Sennacherib guy has reproached your name. So Hezekiah says, Lord, work in such a way that your name, that the whole world will know that you are the Lord God and you alone. In just a few moments, you're going to have the opportunity to lay your issue before the Lord this morning. I'm going to give you a specific opportunity. If there's something on your heart that you know you need God to touch, you need God to minister, you're seeking some direction, whatever it would be, that you're going to be able to lay it before the Lord. But I want to make sure we all see the idea that it's our motives that's so important. James says, you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss, that you might consume it on your own lust. He's saying your motives are wrong. You look at the core motive of Hezekiah here is in the end, Lord, work in such a way that people know that you are the Lord. Get the glory. Lord, as you work in my circumstances, get the glory. May your name be proclaimed. May people know you are the true and living God. Too often we come to the Lord and ask him those things. We want him to rubber stamp how we think it should go. And we always think it's something favorable. If it's just it's something contrary to how we think it should go, we buck and kick against it and argue with the Lord about it. But he would lovingly come say to us, but I thought your goal was to glorify me. Will you trust me in this? Hezekiah has a zeal for the name of the Lord. And he knows, Lord, to the extent that, Lord, I'm going to trust whatever you do it, whatever you want to do here, but just make sure that as you do it, Lord, make sure people, that you get the glory. People see you and know you are the true and living God. See, if you come to know the Lord, an interesting thing begins to happen as he moves inside and begins to work. He begins to show us that he's more than faithful. He begins to show us he's worthy of our trust. He begins to cultivate that in us. And what begins to happen as we lean on the Lord and trust Him and all, there will begin to develop a desire to glorify God. For the believer, there begins to be the desire that God will get the credit, that people see what God can do for them. They want to receive Christ. They want to know and grow in the Lord. Because we know it's the best. It's the best thing to let Him have the driver's seat. And here's an awesome thing. Trusting God gives God honor. It's faith He looks for. It's our trust that He looks for. So as we lay this thing before Him, He looks on our heart and says, what's the motive? Are you really going to trust me in that? And He finds us trusting, that honors Him. When His children put their trust in Him. Would we desire to glorify the Lord? In that case, it means then trust Him. That honors Him. That'll glorify Him as we put our faith in Him. We think it means, oh, I'm going to go out and do all this work for Him, and I'm going to conquer this and accomplish that. He's saying, God's not broke. He's not looking for our bank account. He's not looking for me to jump over tall buildings or anything else. What He's looking for is, will I trust Him? And based on experience, I've learned I can, and that honors Him. And that's what Hezekiah says here in the bottom line. Yeah, we want to be delivered. We don't want the enemy to win here. But in particular, Lord, work in such a way that all these other nations know that You are the living God. And You alone. There's only one God and You're Him. Whether it's at that beginning place where we, that act of faith that brings salvation into our lives. If you haven't done that, you got to start there. Or just the daily act of trusting in His faithfulness and His provision for us. God is glorified by His children trusting in Him to do that very thing. When we seek God first and His righteousness, He takes care of the other things and He gets the glory for it. This morning, where are you at in all of this? What has been set before us, in this case, is a man, a king, who is up against a circumstance that he sees no way out, and he's seeking God's answer for it. And so he brings this letter, this horrible letter of accusations and blasphemies and all, he brings them and just lays them before God. Where are you at this morning in all this? Again, that beginning place is, you may need to be at the very beginning place of just trusting Jesus for salvation. To come and lay your sins before Him, so to speak, confessing that you're a sinner, but receiving the forgiveness and all that only He can give. If you haven't done that, make sure you do it today. There'll be prayer partners in the corner in just a little while, and they'll be glad to pray with you about that. Don't let the enemy tell you that you can't be forgiven. Don't let the enemy tell you that you've sinned too much, that you're the exception. For God counters that by saying the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. So make sure you've availed yourself of that. But I'm speaking now to believers. Is there a Sennacherib at your door? Is there something going on, something coming against you, some circumstance going on? Is it time to trust God in the face of what you're struggling with? Is there something going on in your life right now? This morning, He said, let's get this thing settled. Not that you'll see the answer right away. When I say that, but you'll settle the issue if you're going to trust Him in the midst of this attack, in the midst of this circumstance. The Lord calls us to cast all our cares on Him because He cares so much for us. Is it time for you to cast, truly cast, your cares upon Him? See, we're talking about application. We're talking about making this real, and we're going to do that in just a moment. For some of us, it could be a direct attack from the enemy of our souls. And you need to put on that armor and stand against it. But I want us to make sure we see the broader application here. For some, it might just be something where we really are seeking God's answer in that circumstance, in that situation. You need some leading for the future. You're trying to make a decision some way. Again, maybe whatever it might be. The key point for us this morning is this. He faced a circumstance that he didn't see the way out. He didn't know what to do. But he did know what to do about it. He went in and laid it before the Lord. Just like Hezekiah, is there something that you need to lay before the Lord today? Something that will symbolize that it's that, Lord, I'm going to quit. I'm going to start trusting in this. I'm going to quit laying it for everybody else. I'm going to lay it before you. I'm going to put this in your hands. Do you need a time and a place where you took that circumstance, that issue, whatever it is, and said, on that day and that place, I laid it before the Lord. I'm going to leave it there with him and trust him for it. Are you ready to declare, Lord, may your will be done in the situation that I'm in? Again, maybe it's something with your job, something if you're married, maybe it's something with your marriage. If you're single, maybe it's something related to your singleness. Maybe it's just some relationship issue in your life. It's an area where you don't see the way out, maybe. Maybe it's something new. Maybe you've been struggling with it for a long time. But this morning, the call is going to be to come lay it before him. You're going to give him that thing with the goal of saying, Lord, thy will be done, whatever it is, and get the glory in it. And I'm going to remember that today. I laid it on the altar. I gave you that issue, that person. It can be an event, it can be a circumstance, it can be a person. That you just know that it's time, you need to put it in and leave it in God's hands. And then to say, and Lord, whatever you do, work in such a way that it glorifies you in this. For you are the Lord God, you alone. That's exactly what Hezekiah said. He rested in that. You are God. And you're the only God. I'm giving this to you. Lord, from now on, you deal with it. You handle it. I seek your answer. What would you lay before the Lord this morning and just say, Lord, your will be done? I'm going to invite the worship team up. As the worship team comes up, the ushers are going to pass out. Now, here's where you haven't done this before, at least not in this context, not for a while, but bear with me. The ushers are going to walk around quickly, and they're going to pass out some paper and a pencil. They're going to pass it down the aisles. Take one of each, and then I have an assignment for you. If you don't want to do it, no one's going to make you. But go ahead, ushers, pass those out. Now, as you get the paper and the pencil, if you choose to, I want you to write down something, somebody, some circumstance, whatever it might be, that this morning, and again, it could be something fresh, something been going on a long time, but you want to give it to God. He went in before the altar, just laid the letter before him, said, Lord, here. Too much for me, you do it. If you have something that you recognize that you want to lay before the Lord, then I'm going to ask you to take that paper and pencil, and during this song, Just write down, don't put your name on it. Don't put your name on it. Just write on there one word, a sentence of what it is you want to lay before the Lord. And then here's what's going to happen. I'm going to put a couple of little baskets, a couple of little things up front here. Sometime during the song or the first couple songs, after you've written down what it is, then come up and lay it. He went in and he laid it before the Lord. I invite you to come lay it before the Lord. Just come up here and lay that thing in the box. By the way, no one's going to see that. I'm the only one going to handle those things, and I'll just handle them to the extent that later on we'll destroy them. We'll get rid of them. No one's going to read them or anything like that, but it's between you and the Lord. But if there's something, now you may say, this is silly, don't want to do it, then don't. But if you recognize, Lord speaking to you like, yeah, I got this. There's something going on, I want to lay. Just like he went in, Hezekiah, and laid it before the Lord, we invite you to come lay before the Lord that circumstance, that thing that's heavy on your heart, that area you want to touch of healing or encouragement about work, home, relationships, whatever it is. Nobody has to, but I encourage you to consider it. Come. Put that thing in God's hands. Cast your burdens on Him. Now, remember this. When we lay something before the Lord, He may not change the situation at all. He may change us. He may change our attitude about the situation. He may change... That's the point of this. Lord, I give you the right to do anything you want to do about all this. I just know that I don't have the answer. I want to make sure I give it to you. See, to lay something before the Lord is to say, Lord, whatever you choose to do, then that's what I seek. And to say, Lord, bottom line, it's all fair game. Just do as you see best, and may it glorify you. Let's pray. Father, you put it on my heart to extend to all of us this opportunity to make sure to not leave here burdened down, Lord, with something that you'd want to touch or encourage. Certainly, Lord, we're told to cast our cares on you. And Lord, not that you're going to give some instant answer, not it'll be an answer we think you should give, but we'll just settle it today that whatever it is, it's in your hands, not ours. So Lord, it's not just walking the carpet, it's what it's going to represent, Lord, that we're going to give you this thing and trust you for your answers, whether it be to change that thing, change us, but we're going to trust you. And our heart's desire, Lord, though, is that in it all, may you indeed get the glory. Because we're hungering, we're desiring to be found trusting you. So I pray you'll move and minister to all our hearts in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. During the song, if you feel if you're going to do it, go ahead and write it down somewhere here. Just come up and lay it in one of these baskets that'll be up front.